Hey, what's going on? Hope you are well. Hope you're having a good week so far. So this week on Welcome to the Metaverse, we are going to be talking about Decentraland, which is probably the most well-known project in the Metaverse, at least in terms of virtual worlds. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you've even explored it a little bit, but we're going to dive deep into exactly what it is, what interesting stuff is going on at the minute, and where it is going next, which I think is all very exciting, leading to some good opportunities as well. As always, if you need a little bit more explanation on what exactly an NFT is and what the Metaverse is as an idea, it might be a good shout to go back to episode 2, where I explain those things in more detail, then you'll have a full knowledge and sort of understand some of the stuff we're going to talk about in this episode. As always, not financial advice, always do your own research. With that said, let's get into it. So what is Decentraland? Well, we'll rattle through some of the fundamentals of it and then get into what exactly it's like to kind of use it and experience it and what cool stuff is going on at the minute there. But essentially, Decentraland is a virtual world that you can explore as an avatar on your computer via your browser. So you can go to decentraland.org. You can sign up there. It's free. You'll probably need a MetaMask wallet, which is a Chrome extension, to kind of get the full experience. And then you can have an avatar and you can start exploring this crazy virtual world. Now, essentially, you can create anything in this world. So that might be buildings, it might be interactive objects or kind of in-world experiences. People are showcasing digital art in there. They've created games and kind of mini quests. There's museums, clubs, like nightclubs you can go to. Everything is pretty crazy. And it does sound at first like a game, right? Something that, you know, maybe kids or gamers would play, a little bit like the world of GTA or something similar. But I think labeling it as a game is actually hugely underselling it. Probably a better way to think about it is as an entire virtual world with a fully functioning economy that's most likely about to explode over the next few years. So the fundamental difference of Decentraland over, you know, any other sort of computer game world, even Minecraft or Roblox, which are really valuable in themselves, and there's kind of freedom to create in those games as well. In Decentraland, as the name suggests, it's decentralized, right? So it's not owned by a company, but instead is owned and governed by its users, which is a pretty new idea. Obviously, blockchain has enabled that. It was initially built by developers, and then it's now been handed over to the users and holders of the native token of Decentraland, which is called Mana. So you can buy that on exchanges. And if you hold that and you participate in the community, you can have voting rights to what happens in the world for any changes and stuff like that. I won't go too deep into that area, but if you want to research more about DAOs, which DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organizations, is basically user and community driven organizations that kind of aren't centrally owned by a company. Now, Decentraland is built on the Ethereum blockchain, which means various aspects of the world can be provably scarce, right? In the same way that NFTs are, which is cool and is, you know, a really important part of the world. So, for example, the entire Decentraland world, the world that you explore if you go into the game, is divided up into 90,000 land parcels. They're each represented as a unique NFT. Don't really need to worry about that at this stage. But each little land parcel in the world measures to scale 16 meters by 16 meters, or about 52 feet squared. Now, this land has been on sale for a while. So the world was kind of open to the public in 2020. Early adopters kind of understood where this was all going and bought some of that land up for relatively, you know, cheap prices. It was a bit of a, you know, digital real estate grab. So some of the, you know, the really smart super early adopters did well there. You can, however, still buy land. It might be off someone else in the marketplace, but the value of the land ranges significantly based on kind of where it is within the world. So I looked at one digital land parcel, so 52 meters squared in the world, that was in a good location, and it was selling for the equivalent of about $8,500. So obviously that is pretty crazy, but that was in a sort of prime area. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, a prime location, for example, everyone who enters the world with their avatar when you sign up, you initially enter in what's called the Genesis Plaza. So that's essentially like a sort of tourist information center for Decentraland. So everyone starts there. You can wander around there with your avatar, and there's people there to help you kind of understand the kind of basic controls. You can also learn the history of Decentraland there. It's almost like a sort of little museum. You can also see what events and things are taking place in other areas on the map. So if you were to buy a land parcel near the Genesis Plaza where everyone starts, they are generally valued more because you're more likely to kind of walk out of that area and then go and visit that new piece of land, which means if you were going to build something cool, or you wanted to potentially sell a product or promote something, that land is valuable, much the same as in the real world. If you were to buy a house or land, you know, near the city, it would probably be more expensive than somewhere rural that's further away. Now, to stick on that theme of land parcels, which is already obviously quite mad in your head that this digital real estate exists and it has different value, based on where it is. But some individuals or companies have bought lots of land parcels next to each other, which you can then combine into an estate. And those estates can even form parts of entire districts in the world. So some examples of the districts, and if you go onto the game, you can teleport to visit these. So there is one of the largest ones. It's called the Vegas District. And as you can probably guess, this is a whole kind of casino themed area. So there are fully functioning casinos there. And we've mentioned this on previous podcasts, but now people are being employed from the real world to come into Decentraland as an avatar to be digital croupiers, if you like, to explain kind of how the machines and the tables work in the digital casino in Decentraland, and they're getting paid to do that. So it's kind of creating these digital jobs within the world. That's already happening, which is pretty mad. It's quite cool. You can go to the casino and you can play the machines. You use the native token of Decentraland, which is mana. So you'd have to buy some mana cryptocurrency. You'd have that in your MetaMask wallet, which is where kind of everything is kept for your identity in the game, including any currency that you might have. And then you could, for example, go to the roulette machine and bet a few mana on that. And if you win, then that is credited to your account. So there's a whole economy that is developing within this world, which is pretty mind-blowing. I've mentioned this before as well, but I think it's worth mentioning again briefly. There's even stuff like part ownership within that Vegas district and within casinos. So you can part own, for example, one of the slot machines and then have a kind of passive dividend from the takings of that slot machine. So, you know, statistically, it's going to make money and you get a passive income from that if you own part of that slot machine, which might be profitable over time, which is completely mad. But there we go. That is where we're at with Decentraland. Some of the other districts, so, you know, big estates and large areas, and there's Festival Land, which, as you would expect, is kind of a crazy fun festival themed area. So you can go and ride on a Ferris wheel and go to all these stalls. And obviously there's other people there when you're there, so you can chat to people and experience things together, even kind of play games as well. People have set up sort of escape rooms. I did a Christmas themed escape room. So they'd obviously owned the land. They'd, you know, built some stuff on there and it was interactive. So you had to kind of pass through one door and work out the code to the next door. And all this stuff has been kind of built into that experience, which was very cool. There's Soho Plaza as another example of a district. So that had a whole launch party when it opened, which loads of people went to. There's a Flintstones themed drive-in cinema that you can visit that actually plays footage of stuff. They recently also had a pride parade there, which was awesome, with carnival floats, and you were able to throw paint on the street and stuff. It sounded like really fun and just a cool way to express yourself, you know, in the metaverse and with all these avatars and like-minded people. It sounded a really cool thing. Another district that I think is really worth mentioning, because there was some news about it recently, is the Voltaire district. So that's like an art district. And recently Sotheby's, who are a world famous art auction house, so they have art houses all over the world, and they've sold everything from Picasso's to Monet's, you know, in the real physical world, they recently built an exact replica of their London auction house in Decentraland purposely to showcase digital art. So they've been quite involved in some of these huge NFT sales. And so they've now, you know, reconstructed their art house in Decentraland, which you can go visit specifically for crypto art, which is amazing. They're a really credible, brand and well-known name, and they're participating in this stuff. And they've done it in the art district, which is developing to be the place to go if you want to see, you know, unique, scarce art, which is very cool. Coinbase are also involved with the district as well. So there's some big names and some big people who've kind of bet heavily on this. And it's all developing quite fast. So it's a really, really interesting place to explore. It's absolutely vast. So there's areas that might not be marked, you know, as specific districts, but are slowly kind of building in much the same way as if, you know, a brand new city had started. You'd probably start with the kind of gambling and casino areas, and then it would, you know, branch out into more creative areas and all this sorts of things. So it's really interesting just to see it, even from a kind of, you know, human psychology perspective of what is going on, what's being built, and it's pretty crazy. So it's interesting. Now, that's fine for obviously some of the early adopters and, you know, big companies who have put a lot of money into this, but you don't have to have, you know, huge resources to participate in it. So you can essentially basically create anything you want within a few basic rules in the world. So in terms of creating kind of buildings and objects in the world, they have an in-platform builder in Decentraland. So, you know, you can think of that. It's not dissimilar to something like The Sims, really. If you've ever played The Sims and you've built your own house, it's quite similar to that. And you can decide, you know, how many land parcels you want to kind of work with. And there's loads of sort of materials. They call them asset packs. So there's all different types of, you know, styles, or whether it's you want a more kind of zen feeling land that you're trying to build, or more kind of cypherpunk themed land. You can choose kind of ready-made assets from the builder there, which is pretty cool. Also, if you have any 3D modeling knowledge, you can create your own asset packs and then import them. So, you know, you can get as creative as you like with that stuff, which is very cool. Now, you can either build for lands that you own, and then that can be, you know, your part of Decentraland, or you can experiment with the builder just to build something cool to then list on the marketplace for someone else to buy. So someone else might just own a land parcel, but, you know, they don't have the expertise or the time to really create something cool. But if you've got a good design eye and you like doing that stuff, you could create something for them and they could buy that off you. And you know, that itself is quite cool. It's giving value to sort of digital landscaping, right? So if you were, you know, a landscape gardener, it might sound crazy, but like, you could build an amazing Zen garden, for example, in Decentraland, and then sell that for real money, and it's paid for your time to do that, which is quite cool. Some also related recent news is that Decentraland have just launched their wearables builder as well. So you still need some basic 3D knowledge to kind of get involved with this, but you can kind of follow their templates of stuff, and you can now build bespoke fashion items for your avatar to wear in the world, which at face value sounds crazy, but these things are selling for real money, and it's already happening. So it's one of those things that's hard to sort of understand at first, but then if you go onto the marketplace there, or there's third-party marketplaces somewhere like OpenSea is a popular one, you can see all these assets being created, and they're selling for cryptocurrency that, you know, is the equivalent of hundreds and thousands of dollars. And this has also been happening for a while. So you know, companies like Atari have done official drops, sneaker drops. So you know, they sold for hundreds and thousands of dollars of rare limited edition sneakers for your avatars. But now they've kind of opened it up to everyone. So if you have any kind of 3D building skills, you can create your own fashion line, for example, start your own entire digital fashion brands label, and you know, start doing your collections that go to the marketplace, and even build a name for yourself in theory, which is pretty cool. So to recap some of that stuff, because I know that's quite a lot of information, especially if you're new to this stuff, you're essentially able to explore this digital world. You can buy limited scarce land within the world, which you can build on top of it, either for yourself or you can create for other people. You can also create wearables for your avatar or for other people, and you can sell and trade them on the marketplace, which is pretty mad. There's also a separate section for names for your avatar on the Decentraland marketplace as well. So you can think of that a little bit like domain names, right? If some of those, you know, really short original names or something like Sam would obviously be taken quickly because it's a popular name. But if you have a cool name, you can even make money that way, kind of buying the avatar name and then selling that onwards, which is another sort of potential way of getting involved and making some income. Now, although a lot of the kind of initial land has been sold, we're still definitely massively, massively early to this whole thing. In fact, when you first kind of load the world, you know, the graphics are pretty simple, right? Compared to what else is out there, you know, obviously on PS5 and that sort of thing. It doesn't rival that at all, but it's, you know, it's more the kind of fundamentals of what is going on here is that no company owns this. It's built and governed and run by the users. And there's a whole, genuine marketplace and economy that is already happening. It's the kind of real interesting thing about it all. But you might also rightly be asking, well, you know, what is this all for? It's all fine if you like exploring a random kind of virtual world and you want to sell some stuff, but you know, what's the point of all? Why would you go there? Kind of, why would you spend time there? And there was some news that came out this week that I think gives a good clue to what is about to happen in Decentraland particularly and across other virtual worlds, and is probably potentially the biggest opportunity of all of it, I think. So there's a company at the moment, and actually company is probably the wrong word to describe them. They'd probably like to be known as a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, which is a bit of a mouthful, but you know, we'll say company or organization for the time being. They're called Boson, B-O-S-O-N, and they've just carried out the largest Decentraland land purchase ever in dollar terms. So it was about $700,000 they spent to buy a whole area in Decentraland that they're going to turn into a shopping mall. That in itself, that much money is all pretty crazy, but the idea of a shopping mall as well is really starts to kind of open your mind to what is about to happen here. I'm reading between the lines and listening to some of their talks, which they've done. It sounds like they've got some pretty big brands already on board. They mentioned something about an alcohol brand sponsoring a club night that they're near as well. So they've obviously bought the land in quite a, you know, hot spot, quite a prize area in Decentraland. But they talked about essentially you'll be able to have a virtual shopping experience in their mall. So they're going to obviously build it and you'll be able to walk through it and go to all these shops with brands that you know, and you'll be able to then buy an NFT. So say it was a handbag, a Gucci handbag, for example. You could go into the Gucci store with your avatar, look at a handbag, which would be, you know, detail, really designed well and full detail. And if you want to buy it, you can then buy it there and then be able to unlock the physical counterpart in the real world. So you might be holding both the NFT and then also the physical real world handbag. So you can kind of think of it as their plan is to be the sort of user owned Amazon, but instead of scrolling through items, you know, on a web page, you get to have a 3D experience of them inside Decentraland and, you know, possibly the wider metaverse as a whole, so different worlds as well, which is pretty crazy. And that kind of makes a lot of sense, I think. You know, at first it sounds like, why would you ever do that? But, you know, when we're looking for stuff now, how much time do we spend online shopping? A lot. And really, you're seeing 2D images of these items that you're buying. So to go and experience them, even though it's digitally, but in a 3D form, and really look at them and see, you know, what they look like and get some sense of perspective, especially when, as Decentraland is rumored to be, you know, incorporates VR as well. So you can really kind of expect it in a whole nother immersive way. That seems like that would be a better online shopping experience than scrolling through web pages. And you can also see, you know, colors in better detail. You can see how things fit together, all sorts of stuff. So I think they're betting on it as being the next, you know, huge thing. And it's the most amount of, most expensive kind of land grab that's happened so far in Decentraland. So really, really interesting opportunity. They've talked about, you know, supporting some upcoming brands as well. So, you know, if money wasn't a problem, like, I'd probably go and start a bespoke fashion label, get some amazing 3D designers to work on it, and, you know, release some limited edition drops and then try and get them featured in this shopping mall in Decentraland. The foot forwards, you know, come through, you'd get a name for yourself online, and you could, you know, suddenly have an amazing, you know, forward thinking digital brand that also can cross over to the physical world. So it's all very interesting stuff. Now, I think that's all a lot to think about, but I kind of wanted to break it down as well. You know, how can we benefit as a sort of average, you know, crypto enthusiast or someone who's kind of interested in this world, but, you know, maybe wasn't there right at the beginning of Decentraland, for example? Well, we've talked about some of these in a more detailed episode in kind of the opportunities in the metaverse, but I think the biggest way to sort of, you know, capitalize on this, if you can feel like you can see what's coming, is really just to pay attention to what's going on, because it pays to be early. If you can see what's coming, you can often, you know, see the wood from the trees, work out which projects are going to be valuable or are from reputable places, and maybe, you know, grab stuff early. So obviously this shopping mall is probably going to be, you know, a big deal. So it's worth keeping an eye on how that project develops and maybe participating in some of the early releases that they do, because they've obviously put their money where their mouth is and they're, you know, long-term committed to what is happening here. So I think, you know, really pay attention and getting involved in the communities and the discords of both Decentraland itself, but also, you know, the people who are involved, the designers and also the brands that are already jumping on this stuff, I think is always really great. Obviously, if you have any artistic skills, you're really well placed to learn, you know, simple 3D modeling, and that's going to be an area that no doubt is going to have a massive explosion over the next few years, you know, both on the wearable scene for massive established brands and brand new digital brands as well, and celebrities as well. We're already seeing, you know, there's been so many celebrity kind of NFT drops recently, but not so many kind of wearables yet. I feel like that's going to be the next stage. And we talked about Genies in a recent episode as well. That is coming. We know that's coming. So that's kind of really interesting. There's a program called Blender, which you might know about, is a free kind of open source 3D modeling piece of software. And there's some really good YouTube tutorials as well, which you can watch and follow along if you've got the time and you want to invest a little bit in that. I think that will be the kind of thing that probably pays dividends in the future over the next kind of 5 years. Also, I think if you sell any product or experience, or if you have an idea for a business, thinking how you can kind of represent that in NFT form, in digital form, in, say, Decentraland, could be huge, right? Imagine, you know, positioning yourself on Amazon before everyone else got there. That's sort of the opportunity that we've got here to, you know, to really think about what are people gonna want to buy and experience in the metaverse that maybe will link to kind of physical experiences as well. Something to think about there that I think is really interesting. Also looking for other worlds that might rival or coexist, you know, in the metaverse as well. And they might even be in an even earlier form. So obviously Decentraland is super early really with these developments, but the initial land grabs and, you know, the people who made lots of money in inverted commas quite easily, you know, that phase has sort of passed to some degree. Although, you know, if companies are coming in and buying land to build shopping malls, you know, maybe it's still super early there. But there's another project called Victoria VR, which I'll do an episode on soon as well, which is a similar idea, but it's built for VR from the ground up in a photorealistic way using the Unreal Engine, if you know a little bit about game design and that sort of thing. It's like what a lot of amazing games are being built on, and special effects for films and stuff as well. So that's in a really early stage. They haven't even released it to the public yet. So, you know, maybe checking out those projects, just keeping an eye on those kind of rival worlds is a good thing to do, I think. Also holding the native token of these worlds, and this obviously isn't financial advice, but that is a way to kind of give yourself exposure to potentially some of the upside, but also the volatility. You know, it will go up and down. But there's even a metaverse ETP now, which essentially like combines some of the biggest native tokens. So Mana is in there, but also Engine, which is a, you know, a gaming token, and lots of others. It combines it into one single token, which acts as an index. So you can kind of buy that and get exposure to a whole load of kind of metaverse projects. Obviously do your own research there, but it's something that you might want to look into. And then just tracking what is happening online. Like, as I look, there's, you know, bigger brands and more conversation about the metaverse is slowly bubbling and breaking into the mainstream every day. So we're at the beginning of something huge. So, you know, I think there's being patient as part of it, but also just having a look where you might want to, you know, get involved in certain things, or whether that's, you know, reaching out to the community, or whether it's investing in projects if that's what you want to do, or buying, you know, digital art from the right people. But it's all beginning to take shape. And yeah, Decentraland is definitely a place to go and have a little play with. Decentraland.org. Again, not connected in any way, but I think it's the one that is leading the way and is kind of the model for what the metaverse is becoming. So it's good fun to go in and check it out. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and got value from it. Thank you for your reviews and your ratings. I really, really appreciate that. It really helps me out. If you'd be happy to do that, that would be amazing. You can reach out to me as well, metaversepod@gmail.com. I'll reply to every email on there if there's a project you want me to particularly look into. But yeah, be back next week with another project in the metaverse. We'll dive in deeper and find out a little bit more about what's going on. So until next week, have a good one, and I'll speak to you then.